Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 4 of our study of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 12, 1 through 7. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I am your host, Darren Hibbs, and if you've been blessed by this podcast, I'd like to encourage you to leave a review on your podcast app of choice. It helps other people find out about the 10-week Bible study, and my heart is that people will fall in love with God and with his word when they find this. With that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God. Speak to us. Come and fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. Touch us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The Ephraimite forces were called out, and they crossed over to Zaphon. They said to Jephthah, why did you go fight the Ammonites without calling us to go with you? We're going to burn down your house over your head. Now, this is strange, but also typical. I mean, if you understand human nature, Jephthah went and got the victory over the Ammonites, and now the Ephraimites are saying, hey, how come you didn't ask us to come? It was really just the Gileadites. It was a smaller subset of the tribe here, and he didn't call out the larger tribe. He didn't call out anybody else. And so this small group of people got the victory over the Ammonites, and the Ephraimites, who up to this point had done nothing about the Ammonites, comes out and say, hey, you know, they muster all their forces to go fight Jephthah now. So after they've been delivered, all the people of Israel have repented, and the Lord raised up Jephthah, warts and all, and the Lord delivers Israel, and now Ephraim wants to have a civil war because they didn't get to go out and you know, be part of the battle so that they could be part of the, you know, the victors or whatever. And so it's a very strange thing, but it's also very human nature. I mean, how often instead of, you know, proclaiming victory over a common enemy instead of joining forces and working together against something, or even being happy when someone else succeeds and that we benefit from it. I mean, when someone else succeeds and we benefit, we should be happy for them, not ready to fight. But how often do we see that play out, especially in the more banal aspects of human nature, of our society? You know, if you watch a lot of reality TV, which I don't, but I've seen enough of it through the years, this is how people act. Instead of being happy for someone else, when something good happens to someone else and they didn't get any credit for it, they want to go to war with them and see if they can't get the credit for themselves and do something like that. And so this is so normal, but so banal. And Jephthah probably has an opportunity here to be a little bit more diplomatic, but as we've already seen, that's not really who he is. So let's continue on. Verse 2. Jephthah answered, I and my people were engaged in a great struggle with the Ammonites, and although I called, you didn't save me out of their hands. When I saw that you wouldn't help, I took my life in my hands and crossed over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave me the victory over them. Now why have you come up today to fight me? Now this is an interesting thing right here, because we don't have any other information about this, and as we've already seen in this passage about Jephthah, Jephthah gets a lot of things wrong. And Jephthah does a lot of things wrong. And this is not a passage that's telling us necessarily what was right or wrong, but it's telling us what did happen. And if our narrator was saying that Jephthah had called the Ephraimites out, it would be very easy to believe that. But since we're hearing it from Jephthah's mouth here, the Ephraimites are saying he didn't call them out, and Jephthah is saying he did call them out. And so it's really kind of a bizarre thing. Did he call them and they didn't respond, or didn't he? I'm actually inclined to believe here that he didn't. Again, we don't have a narrator that tells us in this case here what actually happened, whether or not they called him out or not. But it's my opinion after, you know, looking through this and looking through the character and nature of Jephthah that he probably didn't call them out. And then he's lying here to see if he can't get them to go away. and say, you know, maybe they'd be like, well, maybe he did call us and maybe the message didn't get relayed, or maybe, you know, like have them ask amongst themselves and say, well, who heard this, you know, and like it could be a way to maybe get them to go away. Again, it's not very diplomatic, and it looks like it's probably a pretty pitiful lie, in my opinion. It's unclear what exactly happened, but again, my opinion is that Ephraim was not called out and that he's lying to them to get them to go away. Continuing on verse 4. Jephthah then called together the men of Gilead and fought against Ephraim. The Gileadites struck them down because the Ephraimites had said, "You Gileadites are renegades from Ephraim and Manasseh." The Gileadites captured the fords of the Jordan leading to Ephraim, and whenever a survivor of Ephraim said, "Let me cross over," the men of Gilead asked him, "Are you an Ephraimite?" If he replied, "No," they said, "All right, say Shibboleth." If he said Sibboleth, because he could not pronounce the word correctly, they seized him and killed him at the fords of the Jordan. 42,000 Ephraimites were killed at that time. So this is a really bizarre moment here. Is Jephthah mobilizes against all of these guys, kills a whole bunch of them, and then stations guards basically at the fords of the Jordan where they can cross over, and is saying, "Hey, we're gonna give the Ephraimites a test." And so apparently the Gileadites are pronounced this word differently than the Ephraimites. And I mean, this is common. I mean, we can have different dialects within the United States. People pronounce things different all the time. And what this word means, Shibboleth, is an ear of corn. And so there, what the scripture here says is, we'll say Shibboleth. And after a few people die, it's probably easy for them to at least try to say Shibboleth. And so I don't know this, but I kind of wonder if when they say this, if they didn't draw a picture of an ear of corn and say, "What is this? Tell me what this is." And not really knowing what's coming, they say, "Well, it's a Sibboleth." And then they're like, "Okay, you're an Ephraimite because you can't pronounce that like the Gileadites. And so you die." And so this is such a terrible moment in Israel's history. In the midst of this great victory, they engage in this civil war, and here we've got basically just straight up murder. They are just killing off the Ephraimites because of this ridiculous feud between them. So I think in some ways Jephthah is going to set up for us how the judges are going to go throughout the rest of this book. And this is a really sad moment in Israel's history, but the quality of the character of the judges as we've gone through the book seems to be steadily dropping, and the Lord is raising them up to deliver Israel, but they're not necessarily the most high character, high quality of people. And that's what we're seeing here with Jephthah. When it comes to this whole thing with Shibboleth and Sibboleth, I find it kind of interesting, but again, you know what this is like. If I held up a picture of a green pepper that we grow where I'm from in Texas and Mexico all the time, that we call a jalapeno, which is a Spanish word, which is the correct pronunciation of jalapeno. If I held that, picture up to someone and they said, "Oh, that's a jalapeno," I would say, "Okay, you're from Iowa, you die now." I'm kidding, of course. But I've heard that pronunciation all the time from people up north in Texas. They pronounce it with the Spanish pronunciation, jalapeno. Actually, most people pronounce it jalapeno, but some people who have not been exposed to the proper pronunciation of those things will just, read it and say, "Well, that's a jalapeno." And there's lots of other words like that we get from other languages especially. And then there's things that are just, dialectic. People from New York just say things differently than people in Texas and people in California and people in the Midwest. And so you've got all those differences. And I think it's a funny little aside right here that they use such a funny sounding word to be the determination whether or not they lived or died. And I guess if they had said, "I am from Ephraim," they died anyway. I mean, it's like, if you were from Ephraim, you're going to die no matter what if you tried to cross the Jordan, apparently. So this is a really just a bad moment in Israel's history. after this great victory, they just go to killing each other. And it's so human nature. We don't have to see it this drastically all that often, but it is definitely part of human nature is that people just want to fight over things that don't need to be fought over. And if Jephthah had just risen up and said, guys, this is not the moment to fight. This is a moment to rejoice. We stuck our necks on the line and we fought, and now you are free. Now you get to experience the liberty of not being under the thumb of the Ammonites. How much more diplomatic and how much better would that have been if he had taken that route and sent the Ephraimites away instead of going to war with them? Let's finish up. Verse 7. Jephthah led Israel 6 years. Then Jephthah the Gileadite died and was buried in a town in Gilead. I think the fact that Jephthah is one of the shorter lasting judges is probably to Israel's benefit. He did save the people of Israel, but as we can see here, the character, the integrity, not great. And so this is a low point in the history of the judges. This is a really low point in the history of the judges. But the Lord is faithful, the Lord is good, and the Lord, every time the people repent and turn back to him, the Lord listens, the Lord hears, and he will in our lives as well. When we repent, when we turn our hearts back to the Lord, he listens, he hears, and he comes and he meets with us. If you felt far away from the Lord, this is the day where you can come back to the Lord, repent, turn your heart back to him, and he will draw near to you. The Lord says he's near, he's close to the humble, but he's far from the proud. So when we humble ourselves and repent, he draws near to us. If that's you today, this is your day to repent and humble yourself before the Lord, and he will draw near to you. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.